The situation was so strange that at that moment I couldn't think of anything else to say. There followed a short silence and I wondered about that strange accent which, in fact, wasn't English at all. To my ears it sounded more like Dutch, my own language. I could understand it perfectly, but I couldn't repeat a single word of what they actually said. The voice came again, and over the still dark water an unbelievable conversation began. "Is your ship damaged?" "No, I don't think so." "Will you turn the light out?" "All right. Thanks." "Does the ship belong to you? Have you a radio transmitter on board? We would like to show our appreciation for the rescue of our crew member. You can do that by simply explaining some of this to me. It's just too much. How long have you been here?" "We have been near Earth for some time." "Why do you hide? Why haven't you tried to make contact with us?" "Our reason is that you do not know the laws of a higher civilization." "I don't understand." "There is still a great deal that the people of this planet do not understand." I hesitated. "How much did they know about us?" "You know us well, then? We have studied you for some time. You don't have a very high opinion of us, I gather. Your remark shows some insight. Are your people more intelligent than mine?" "No, only more developed." "If that's so, then I don't understand why you haven't made contact with us. You could help us. That would constitute a breach of the laws of nature." I shrugged my shoulders. Despite the strange situation, I began to feel more at ease. This was an unimaginably important meeting, and I began wondering how I could manage to squeeze some information out of these beings. I could learn things that man, for centuries, has only been able to guess at, and I could find out about their spaceships. "We wish to give you something as a token of our thanks. If we give you an object with which you can prove our existence, it will surely also be worth a great deal of money. We hope that you will accept it. It is sterilized." "What is it?" "It is a block of inert metal that is many times stronger than your best steel and only half as heavy. It has a superconductive structure that is so straight that current can only flow through it when a positive pole is placed directly opposite a negative pole, in line with the structure of the metal. If one of the electrodes is moved only 1/1000th of an inch, the current ceases to flow. With this structure it is possible, with correctly placed electrodes, to form a spiral current pattern, the result being that when a direct current is connected to two feed wires, a supermagnet is created with a negligible current consumption. Also, the metal has a melting point much higher than anything known on Earth. We use this metal for the outer skin of our spacecraft. That is the gift. We hope you will accept it." I was greatly impressed. "This is incredible. I am grateful. I expected no gifts for saving your crew member, but I imagine that your intention is to help us and I accept it with heartfelt thanks. We admire your unselfishness, but we must point out that the block of metal represents a far too advanced technique to be of any use to you in your research. Technically speaking, it is useless, but you are right in thinking that something else is behind it. We wish to give you proof that you are being observed by intelligent alien races, who know you so well that they are able to communicate with you, but refrain from doing so. We live in the perhaps desperate hope that people exist who, with this information, will be able to understand the reason for our reluctance." "And what is the reason?" "You do not have the values, the ethics, of a developed civilization. Because of this, the human race has, as yet, no chance of eternal survival. It blocks the way to cosmic integration." I shrugged my shoulders. I had never heard of cosmic integration. They also began to irritate me. I found them a little too arrogant. "You regard us as children, then?" "No. An adult does not blame a child for the fact that he is not yet grown up. But you do blame us for something? And what is that?" "Any English-speaking Negro, Chinese or American Indian can give you the answer." The conversation was not going exactly the way I had imagined. I had to think of something else, and at the same time be careful that the contact was not broken. I was afraid that they would climb back into their saucer and that I would never see them again. "I think I understand what you mean. May I ask a couple more questions?" This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
That is correct.
The present generation will not have the chance again.
Answers to my question seem to me to be much more important than the block of metal.
Your insight surprises us.
The answer to carefully selected questions is certainly much more important.
I was surprised that they agreed to my request so quickly and easily.
They suddenly seemed much more friendly.
In that case, I would like to know what your spacecraft looks like, and, more important, how it is powered.
You disappoint us with this question about technical knowledge.
The most dangerous natural law governing the development of an intelligent people states, a highly technological society does away with all discrimination or self-destructs.
To supply technical information to a people like yourselves is a serious crime against the cosmic laws.
The last thing that you need is technological information to increase the gap between your intellectual development and your almost non-existent social development.
Carry on playing with your Mars probes for the moment, as half of your world's population lives in poverty and hunger.
The only information you need lies in the field of societal standards.
I was terribly disappointed.
There went my dream of learning breathtaking technical discoveries.
I am afraid that very few people would be interested in that kind of information.
We are afraid so too.
When do you think that the time will be ripe to give us information about space travel?
The cosmic isolation of an intelligent race can only be lifted when the minimum culture level has been reached.
We call it social stability.
HMM.
And this conversation, then?
We feel ourselves justified, because of your actions, in supplying certain small pieces of information which will set the present generation to thinking.
What do you call a socially stable culture?
We could give you the answer, but we doubt that you would understand it.
I will take that chance.
It seems to be important.
Be sure that you know what you want.
This answer demands an explanation in word and vision for at least 2 days.
Furthermore, you must choose between the material gift, the block of metal, and the immaterial gift in the form of information.
We cannot give you both.
I don't understand what one has to do with the other.
There is still so much that you do not understand, but after our explanation, this question will also be answered for you.
Are you really prepared to spend 2 days explaining this to me?
My tone dearly showed my surprise.
We are, for at least 2 days.
A conversation of shorter duration would have no point.
It is the minimum time in which we can give you the necessary information.
We have all the time in the world. Space travelers are never in a hurry, but we must warn you, we doubt that the information that we will give you will make your life happier, so be sure that you know what you are doing.
I shrugged my shoulders.
It was dear to me that these beings were devious, but I did not intend to let this one chance in a million slip through my fingers.
All right, what do I have to do?
We have a small, sterilized decompression chamber, and only from there will you be able to hear us and see our screen.
Food and drink you will have to bring from your ship, which should stay here.
We must warn you again, you will become wiser for this experience but not happier.
We can leave with our ship whenever we want, right?
Naturally, but if you leave us it is for good, and with our blessing.
All we ask now is a solemn vow from you and your wife that as long as we are here you will not contact anyone else and will do everything in your power to keep our presence a secret.
I need to talk it over with my wife.
Naturally.
But my decision had already been made.
I will not tie you with Miriam's arguments, nor with the latter part of my conversation with the aliens, which consisted only of a number of instructions regarding anchoring, lighting, knock signals and so on.
The visit itself was to begin early the following morning, for which preparations were needed.
The two statues turned about and, laden with their apparatus, disappeared as quickly as they had come.
As if sleepwalking, I went slowly to the bow and, as agreed, let the anchor fall onto the hard metal bottom complete with an extra piece of chain.
Soon afterwards the platform sank with a bud-zooming noise under the surface of the water.
A dull shock followed and the ship floated in its element once again.
A short time later my brain received yet another jolt.
The dead stillness of the night was broken by a terrible noise, a bud zooming combined with the screaming, howling tone of a circular saw.
The anchor chain jerked tight and the surface of the water became strangely disturbed. The spaceship was acting as a submarine. We were pulled forward over a broad foam track, which was lit from beneath a dull yellow-green light. The noise was unearthly and frightening. I stood, fascinated, and began to wonder what I had let myself in for.